Therefore, let us leave the elementary doctrines, the teaching that we should have known a long time ago. Let us go on to perfection. How long are we going to keep talking about we have to repent again and again and again? That's what the scripture is talking about in Hebrews chapter 6. But let us go on, let us walk on. You're either going to be a tool or a temple, and you get to choose. Are you a tool or a temple? Pharaoh was a tool. Nebuchadnezzar was a tool. David was a temple. Jesus said, I came to dwell in you, to make my abode with you. He said to Moses, he said, you can't look at me, but you can look at the things. Old Testament law, God said, these are all significant because they make you look in my direction. But God says, this is the covenant I'm going to make with them, meaning you and I, and all that will believe after those days. After those days, there's a day after looking into it. And he says, I'm going to write my law, my commandments, my word. In your heart and in your mind will I inscribe them, and you'll never forget them. How incredible, how amazing that the God of heaven is the God of earth. The God of heaven is the God of earth. The God of the universe is the God of the earth. The God of the angels is the God of man. The God of the seraphims and the cherubims is the God of man, the God of man. He is the God of man. At some point, someone posed the question, what is man? That you were mindful of him and the Son of Man, that you visit him, you dwell with him, you made him lower than the angels. You did that, but you crowned him with glory. You made him lower than the angels, and yet you crowned him with glory. What an incredible creation, how fearfully and wonderfully made we are. And that revelation becomes even more prominent when you understand by the Holy Spirit what God is doing and why he made you so significantly, so perfectly. We are not imperfect vessels. We are perfectly created, shaped, and fashioned in the image and the likeness of God. And don't let your deeds and your actions be a description of God's creation. He made you perfectly for his will and his purpose. So perfectly, he was able to redeem you. Redeem you, meaning bring you back to a point of origin of God's intentions from the beginning. That would only happen if you were made right in the first place. So we are the redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. There's only one way. 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 All your works, all your efforts, all your actions, all your deeds, all your plan, all your religion, all your rituals, there isn't anything that brings you into that unity like being born of Christ, being born again, being born again. You must. In order to see the kingdom, you must be born again. But then something interesting Jesus says. He says, but the kingdom of God can't be observed. No one can tell you it's over here. No one can tell you it's over there. For the kingdom of God is within you. Significance of the kingdom of God. When God said the kingdom, Jesus said, what will I liken the kingdom unto? We talked about this last Sunday. What would I compare the kingdom with? How would I describe, Jesus said, the kingdom, talking to people like you and I? How would I describe it? And every time he describes it as something that looks one way. It looks like something, and then it turns into another way or something else. So he uses a seed as an analogy, and he said, let's talk about it like this. A seed is sown in the earth. And when it's sown in the earth, it produces fruit. And we think, yeah, that's awesome. But the glory of God is something in the Old Testament, under the Old Covenant, under the Old Law. The glory of God was something that people heard about, something they looked toward. As a matter of fact, when the glory of the Lord filled the temple, the people couldn't even go on the inside because the glory of the Lord was so thick. Imagine God in all his love. Those that dwell in love dwell in God. Why? Because that's who he is. God is love. God is love. God is love. What does love want to do? Anyone love anybody in this house? Anybody love more than one person? We have one taker. Bless you, Aiden. Aiden loves more than one person. How many of you at least love one person? What about this side? Thank you, Steve. Don't stare at me. I love you too. God is love, and what does love want to do? Wants to share. Wants to love, wants to embrace. I love my wife. I hug her all the time. Hold her hand all the time. Love expresses itself, and all love wants to do is share, because that's what love is. Love isn't about you over there and me over here. Love isn't about you looking at me saying, wow, you're so incredible. I wished I could be like you, but I can't. Love says, come and be like me. Come and be with me. So in the beginning, God created man. The word says, God said, let us create man in our image and in our likeness, and let's give him dominion in the earth. Why would God do that? Why would he create a place that needed to be dominated? And by what? By the word and the will of God. And why would he do that? Again, why wouldn't he just make us in heaven? Why? I mean, add us to the lot of angels. Why not just make us one of those? He's God. If he wanted more people and more creation to worship him, why didn't he just make us up there? Why make this down here? And why did he create it in a way, and then his command was take dominion over all the earth, rule over it, and subdue it? And how do you do that? Unclothed, without tools, and yet God said, do it. And then God didn't tell them how to do it. The word never says he told them how to do it, but he did tell them how, but they didn't know he told them how. And what he did is he said, take dominion. And let's start by naming all the animals. Name them. Give them their identity. Tell the earth who it is. Tell the creation who it is. Call out its name and tell it, this is who you are. And whatever you, Adam, say it is, that is what it is. But it will be established in the earth once it comes out of your mouth. And then whatever Adam said, God's design, whatever Adam said, that was the name thereof. Didn't mean it became the name. That was the name. Adam just knew it because God revealed it to him. But when he called out the name, he established the power, the authority, and the purpose of that creature in the earth. God created it, but Adam announced it. And God said, whatever you say and whatever you do, that is the name, and that is what it will be, and that is what it will do. And it did, and it was. Then God said, all the earth is before you. You know, we think so often if the world would just be a little more perfect, if we'd have just the right political leaders and the right preachers behind the pulpits and just the right neighbors next door, if it could just be a little bit better, if it could just be the way it seems like it should be, everybody just be a little bit nicer, everyone drive a little more courteous on the road, what a wonderful place it would be. What a wonderful world it'd be. Well, I sing it out, and it's not going to be so wonderful. And God made you that way. He made you that way, and then Jesus redeemed you back to the point of origin. Redeemed, brought back, brought into the fullness, because God creates everything, and his way is perfect. Without him was not anything made that was made. Of him, through him, and to him are all things. All things, all things. That's why here at PFC, all we do is glorify God. We don't talk about what anything or anyone else wants to do. If it's not what God wants to do, if it's not what God's saying, we just don't care, because it just doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter. And the church, the body, needs to know it just doesn't matter. God needs to receive all the glory, all the attention, all the honor, all the praise. God needs to do that. He needs to be the one that receives all the honor and the glory and the praise. And as the body of Christ, that's what we need to do. Just give God the praise. Give God the glory. David said, I set my mind on the word and the law of the Lord. I meditate on his law day and night. And if he needed to slay a giant, he picked up a rock and a piece of leather, threw it, and God gave him victory. It wasn't his power. It wasn't his strength. It wasn't his ability to be a great warrior. It was his faith in the word of God. God said to Adam and Eve, take dominion. How? He said, there's a tree over there. He said, you can eat of everything else, just leave that alone. Why? All I want you to do, I want you to learn obedience and confidence. I don't want your eye to wander. See, what we see with our eyes becomes our reality, but your reality is not what you see. Your reality is what you do not see. Your real reality is the invisible dynamics of your creation. And that's Christ Jesus in you. The word says in the Old Testament, they looked at the law. They beheld the law. They saw 10 commandments. The words of, of Almighty God written on stone. One day God said, He said, you've known me as the Almighty, but I want you to know me as the Lord. I want you to know me as the Lord, El Shaddai. I want you to know me that way. You won't right now, but I want you to. See, for generations, people looked at God, but you can't really look at Him. He said, Moses, He said, I'm going to pass by. You can't see me. And all the Old Testament, all the Old Covenant was done away because it couldn't bring the perfect order. But it was a teacher, the Word says. It did teach us how to look in the right direction. So God says to Adam and Eve, as long as you keep my word, as long as you trust in me, whatever needs to be done will be done in the order of my will and purpose, and you'll benefit from it all. No shame will cloud your mind. No fear will overcome you. You'll never run from my presence. You'll be able to dwell in it. Keep my word. Keep my word. And the word says one day that a serpent in the garden, which the Lord God had made and the Lord God blessed, said to them, a creature, by the way, which God made more cunning than all the creatures in all the earth, capable of communicating. God did it. God made it. And when a man is tempted, let not that man say, I'm tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted of evil, neither tempts he any man. So God never has tempted anyone. But what he has done is he's called us to take dominion. He's called us to reign and rule. He's called us to know him as Lord, El Shaddai, the Prince of Peace, the God of glory. Old covenant, we looked at the law. New covenant, we get to look through the Spirit. God says, I don't want you to look at me. I want you to look through me. So he gave us Christ. And Jesus said, you're looking at me. And he says, it's expedient for you of the utmost importance that I leave you in this form and return to you in a form that you don't look at, but that you look through. I'm coming to you. I'm sending you the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. And he will dwell in you. And he will abide in you. Because love wants to abide. Love wants to remain. Love wants to dwell in that which it loves. That's what love is. Jesus said it is impossible to see the kingdom of God. Not just because you've sinned. Not just because you did what you shouldn't have done. But no one can see God. Jesus said no one has seen the Father except me. And no one has seen the Son, the Word, except the Father. We're the only two that have seen one another. And he said, I want to make the Father known to you. He said, all I've seen and all I've heard, I'm going to make known to you. Why? Because God wanted a creation that lived by this incredible element, this incredible virtue, this power, this invisible wonder called faith. And God said, I'll put that on the inside of you and I'll dwell in you. But I need a creation that doesn't look at me. I want a creation that looks through me. The kingdom of God, he said, is not here or there, and it can't be observed. The kingdom of God cannot be observed, for the kingdom of God is within you. Adam and Eve, trust me, obey my word, just trust me, and as long as you keep my word, as long as you trust in me, the word of my power is in you. And the day that you doubt me, your mind will know you doubted me, and that's what will kill you. Because I created you not to look at me, but to live through me. Jesus said, I'm sending you the Comforter, and he will indwell you. He will empower you. And when he does, he's going to bear witness through you of me. Through you of me. Jesus said, all these things you've seen me do, they're wondrous, and I came, and I laid down my life, and I destroyed the consciousness of sin within every believer. All the powers of death, hell, and the grave are no longer authoritative over you. I've delivered you. I've set you free. You'll live for eternity. You don't have to doubt. You don't have to pay for your sin. You don't have to suffer for sin. And we need to know that today. Jesus on the cross, the Word says, he made an open display saying, I've triumphed over every authority, every principality, every power, every excuse, every idea, every thought, every image, every imagination. I put it dead, down, buried forever, and there is no power to raise it again because there is no purpose in it. But God's purpose remains eternally. And you can be a tool or you can be a temple. He said there are a lot of people that will go out and they'll cast out devils in my name. We hear a lot about that today. They can have faith, they can move out, they can do all kinds of wondrous works. But he said there's going to be a day I'm going to say to them, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, I don't know you, I don't know you, I don't know you. Because there's only one way that God knows you. And that's through Jesus Christ abiding in you, because that's the purpose and the intention from the beginning of time. That His Word would dwell in us. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. We shouldn't want the world to change and become a better place. There's nowhere in the Scripture that describes the world as becoming a better place. One time Jesus had been ministering to a crowd, and the Word says, when He was finished, He told His disciples, I want you to get into a boat. And he insisted they get in a boat and go. So they got in a boat and went. Jesus dismisses the crowd, and He goes up on the mountain, and He prays until it's nighttime. And the Word says, about the fourth watch, Jesus decides that it's time to go back to the disciples and get on the boat. But He deliberately waits until it's dark. He deliberately waits until the seas or the sea and the waters are disturbed by the wind. And then He walks on the water, and He walks on the wind, and He walks on the storm. And the disciples see Him, and the Word says they're terrified and they're afraid. Say, help me, Jesus. Help me to walk on water. More than that. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, take heed. Don't be afraid. Take heart. It is I. Do not be afraid. Today God's saying this to us, and here's a prophetic word. If you're looking for the world to be a better place, you're looking at the wrong world. There's nowhere in the Scripture where the Word says the world will become a better place. The world will become a better place. It does, however, describe a new heaven and a new earth. But God never said the world would be a better place. Never said the world would be an easy place. Didn't necessarily say it would be a hard place either. He said it's a place to take dominion. Jesus said, I have to go because I don't want you to know me the way you've seen me. I want you to know what I've done through the body you've seen me in. Because God made man, and then God made Himself man. God make man like God, then God makes Himself like man. So He rules over both sides, on both ends. May I have a tissue, please? All the will and the purpose of God are perfect in every way. Perfect in every way. Perfect in every way. Say that. Say God's ways are perfect. Do you know who you serve? The Word says, do you not know who you are? Do you not know? He never promised that His death or resurrection would make the earth a better place. But He'd promised He'd make you a better vessel. Do you not know, Jesus said, do you not know who you are? Do you not know you are the temple of the Holy Ghost? In Revelation, John hears a voice in heaven saying, and I God will make my dwelling among men. What is the perfect house for the Lord? The temple of the Holy Spirit. Perfect dwelling place for God. The Holy Spirit. Sometimes we just want to be a tool. God, just use me. I don't want God to just use me. I want to be a temple for the Holy Spirit. And I can't help but be a reflection of God. He says in Revelations that His presence will be our covering, our shadow, our shade, our light, our soundness, our joy, our peace. You want to be a tool or a temple? God, just use me. Just use me. Just tell me what to do. I don't want God to just tell me what to do. I want to do what He said. He said, seek first the kingdom of God. What does a kingdom look like? Jesus said, how will I liken it? He said, it's like the things that just don't look like what they appear to be. A seed, you put it in the ground, and it turns into something else. What? It expresses the glory of God. But it only happens when you put it in the earth. The glory of a seed, the glory of God, which He spoke about in Genesis. And He said, the seed is in itself. The glory only comes out when it's put in the earth. The glory of God is only revealed when it's put in the earth. That's God's design. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Do you not know that you are the temple of God, and I will make my dwelling among you? Do you not know that? Among you. Seek first the kingdom of God. What is He saying? Look for the change. Look for the difference. Look for the glory. Believers, we get together and we just keep praying. God, just fix it. He doesn't want to fix it. He wants you to do what He wanted Peter to do. He deliberately came out at night when it was dark. He deliberately let the boat go out into the water where he couldn't get onto it from the shore. He deliberately waited until the winds He created and the water that He created were being tossed. And He walks out on the water and Peter says, Lord, if it's You, bid me, come on, come on, come on, come on. And Jesus said, come on, come on, come on. It is I. In this day, Jesus is saying to you and I what He said to Peter, don't fear, don't be afraid. It is I. I'm walking on your troubled seas. I'm not going to calm them. I'm going to stir them up. Peter walks out on the water. The word says, Peter walked on the water. Everyone focuses on the sinking. I've always focused on the water. You can imagine him going to bed that night going, man, did you see that? And everybody, you sunk. Yeah, whatever. Have you ever walked on water and then sank? Well, I did. You sank first. Come on. I walked on water. Jesus said, I'm going to use you. You, Peter, the rock, I'm going to use you. When the revelation comes into you, when you lose yourself. See, God said in the Genesis of time, in the beginning, He said, take dominion. But He said, you're going to learn that you're not going to be able to do it by looking at me. You're going to have to look through me. Religion looks at God. And it blames everything for going wrong, for being whatever and whoever and whatever. And if they can grab any scripture that talks about a demon or a devil, that's we always need an excuse. I don't want an excuse. I want a revelation. Time to leave the rescue mentality and go on to a revelation mentality. Time for the church to grow up, to become mature, to believe the God that we serve is the God, the Lord Almighty, the ever-present one, the God of wonder, the God of spirit and truth and power and life, the Lord in whom there is none like him, none before him, none beside him. I don't know any. There is no God but of God, and those powers which be are ordained of God for his purpose and for his pleasure. I come to know in my world there is no demon, there is no devil. Not in my world. He may be in yours, but he's not in mine. My world is whom the Son has made free is free indeed. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. 1,000 will fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand. It will not come. Only with your eyes will behold and see the war of the wicked. Because you've set your affections. Come on. On me. And there's many more. But just that, why would I focus my attention or talk about or give anybody any other credit or time or embrace their ability or what they want to do or what they want to say except God, including man? It doesn't matter. Peter walks on the water and he walks on the water. Peter's walking on the water. A man is treading on top of the water. He's walking on the water. He's walking on the wind. He's walking on the storm. And then the word says he looked at it and he acknowledged the wind and he acknowledged the storm and then he became afraid, like we have been taught to do in our world by many religious leaders. We fast and we pray that things will go away, that the storm will stop, and in that we see a better day, but that's not the way it is at all. Jesus didn't need the wind to stop and the waves to be calm. He didn't need it to be daylight. He didn't need any of that. Adam, take dominion in the earth. It will wrestle against you. Subdue it. Bring it to worship. If you worship me in all my word, it will worship me too. Bear witness to me. The Holy Spirit, Jesus said, will come. He will indwell you. And when you bear witness to me, darkness will surrender. You'd be better off to ask God to make you a temple of the Holy Spirit than you are to ask him to use you. Be a temple first. Be a temple. Leave the rescue me mentality and embrace the revelation is me mentality. Come on. Peter walks on the water and he sees the waves. The word says he sank. Jesus immediately reached out and took him up like he always does. Immediately reaches out and he rescues us. Can I tell you, I've become quite disillusioned at where we are today and we're still talking about the rescue. Sometimes we just need to throw off that beggar's cloak and say, I just don't need this anymore. We say, how about let's go on to something that doesn't appear. Let's go into something we can't see. Let's see the glory of God. You're not going to see the glory of God if you're not looking for it, and you're not going to look for it, see it, if you don't even know what to look for, if you're not looking for the glory, and the glory isn't getting things going back the way they were, or the way you want them to be, or the only reason you want them a certain way is because it's what you think and what you remember. And God says, I'm doing a new thing. You haven't seen it. You haven't heard it. You don't know about it. He didn't say, I'm going to make the streams wider and bigger and deeper and clearer. He said, I want to put streams in the wilderness. I want to build roads where there are no roads. I want to show you a way where there doesn't seem to be a way. Because I want the world and the nations to know that I'm God of the heavens and I'm God of the earth. I am the Lord. That is my name. And do you know who you are? You were created to be not a tool, but a temple. And when you're a temple, God will use you because he will flow through you by nature of his will, his purpose, his promise, his power. You're so, so wonderfully made. If you'd stop putting yourself down, there is therefore now no condemnation to them who know who he is, who are in Christ Jesus, who don't walk after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of Christ that dwells in me, it just made me dead to the law of sin and death. I only know God. Peter answered him, Lord, if you command me to come on the water, he said, come on, Peter. He went out of the boat and he walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the winds, he was afraid. And he began to sink. He cried out, Lord, save me. There we are. I still hear it today. Lord's going to deliver you. Lord's going to save you. I'd almost like not to hear that anymore for a while. I'd like to talk about going beyond. That's what the Word says. Let us go beyond repentance from the same old dead works. We're talking about the same thing over and over and over. And God is more than your deliverer. He is the Lord of glory. The Lord of glory. Lord of glory. Nations, you keep looking at the wind and the waves and what looks like death and destruction, and you keep crying out, save me. I want you to pray, Lord, reveal your glory through me. Let me walk in the midst of the wind, and I won't walk in it, I'll walk on it. Let me walk in the midst of the water, and I won't walk in them. I will walk on top of them. Let me walk on the storm. Let me walk on the winds. Jesus immediately reached out, took him by the hand, said to him, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? Why did you doubt? They got in the boat and the wind ceased. The opportunity was to walk in the storm. Once the wind ceased, you hear no more. Got in the boat and the wind ceased. The end. Boring. No witness, no glory, no power. Got in the boat, stopped the wind. In the last days, there will be an outpouring of my Spirit, says God. God isn't going to make this world a better place. The Word said that it's going to pass away. The world's going to pass away. Heavens are going to pass away. God's not fixing it. Get that. He's not fixing it. He's not fixing your world. He's preparing himself a temple. Which temple you are. We are the temple. You are the temple. And all that you experience is not about you getting over it. It's not even about you getting through it. It's about you walking on it. Sometimes God in His goodness keeps what you want from you putting your hand on it, because all you're going to do is look at it. He wants you to look through it. Look through the glory. God knows what it takes to get you to the point that you start looking like the glory of God instead of trying to look at the glory. He's had thousands of years of us looking at Him. He wants us to look through Him. Because you cannot see the kingdom of God. You can't look at it. It goes so far as saying that when Jesus came into the earth, why? Because the glory of God is not revealed. It's the way God made it. It's not revealed in its fullness until it enters the earth and believes God by faith. God said, I know how to be revealed. I'm going to create a planet. I'm going to create a ball of dust. I'm going to call it earth. And they're not going to be able to look at me. My creation won't be able to look at me as heaven looks at me. They're going to have to see through me. And I'll deliver them, and they will learn that no matter what they have, how perfect it is, how much of it they have, they can't rule over it unless they rule through me. Only through me. And they have to know it's not by might or by power, because they'll boast of themselves, and then I can't share my glory. And my glory is beyond them, and I have to make it that way, because only by faith can you please God. Abraham, God said, I want a foretelling of my son, of the salvation of the world. I want to create a new nation. I'm going to find one man that will believe me. Without looking at me, he will see through me. And by that wonder of faith, I'll create a new nation. God's saying the same thing today. Hear the word of the Lord. The Lord God has troubled your seas. He's caused the wind to blow. He's allowed the darkness to come. So you're not confident in the daylight to provide you with the eternal light. He's given you the rulers and the leaders that you have. Because that's what you've qualified for. If you will believe the Lord God, He will give you even worse. Now you may rule over them, not by force, not by your wisdom, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. Bear witness that I am God with you, and I will bear witness that I am your God. And I'll raise you up if you will humble yourself to me. Believe me. The world isn't a better place, but I live in a world where I see the place is so much better. I was not created for the world to tell me what state I'm in. I was created to tell the world what state it is in. Take dominion. Tell it what its name is. The earth won't bless you until you bless the earth. I will say of the Lord Almighty, this is the day my God has made. I rejoice and I'm exceedingly glad into it. Only goodness will follow me all the days of my life. I don't need to be protected from the earth. The earth needs to be protected from me. I will command it to yield its fruit. Adam, command it. Command it to give you its strength. Command it. See through me. How? Through the word I've given you. See through the word. The minute you look through the tree, you will surely die. But if you look through me, you will live forever. It wasn't about any tree. It was about the word of the Lord regarding the trees. So in our life, we don't need a perfect order of leadership. We don't need them to stop talking about wars because they will increase. And as this week comes, it will increase the more. Glory to God, so we can walk on the water. So we can walk on the wind. So we can be a temple and not just a tool. Lord, I did this, and Lord, I did that. And God says, I don't know you. From where you came or who you are. Look for the glory. Look for the change. That's the kingdom. Seek the glory of God. How do we look for the kingdom? What does it look like? Jesus said, this is what it looks like. It looks like the difference. It looks like the other side. There are two sides to everything. Look for the other side. Why? Why did you let me look at this? So you by faith knew what to look beyond, Peter. Why'd you doubt me? Why'd you look at the trouble? Why do you look at the news? Why do you read what man says and yet claim that God is your Lord? Why do you do that? Why do you doubt me? Says the Lord. What witness would you be any more than those that were in the boat without the wind? But what witness wouldn't you be? What witness could you be if you walked on the water and on the wind? There is no perfect world. Only a perfect God. There is no kingdom but of God. Jesus said, I can't be the king of this. You're to rule over it through the kingship of who I am. The kingdom of God is eternal forever. It remains. And Jesus said, I'm not asking you to pray to leave here, to get up there. I'm telling you, pray. Your kingdom comes. Your will be done in earth as it is in heaven. There is a union that God desires of the creation that He has made and that He has sanctified through the washing of the water of His Word and by the blood of the everlasting covenant of Jesus Christ. That's what God wants, and He's going to have it because His Word will not return void, but it will accomplish that for which He has sent it to accomplish. Look for the difference. What do you mean? Look for the kingdom. We're not in trouble. We're in position. We're in power. We're in witness. This is our opportunity, the one we waited for, the one we prayed for. It's about a union. It's about a wedlock. It's about two becoming one. I and you and you and me, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, Jesus said. No more can you except you abide in me. In short, the glory of God would not be fully known until like a seed. What is the kingdom of God like, Jesus said? It's like a seed. You won't see its glory until it's planted in the earth. We won't see God's glory until it's planted in the earth. Don't you know that you are the temple of the Holy Ghost? The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, for He's anointed me to preach the gospel. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because He is. The Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captive and the opening of prison doors to those that are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to grant to those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for hardness instead of ashes, as a headdress instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the garment of praise instead of a faint spirit, that they may be called the oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. Why? That He may be glorified. Says it right there. What's God doing? He planted His Word in us. We are the planting of the Lord. Why did He do it that way? So He would be glorified. Because He's only going to be glorified in His fullness, like Jesus was. The Word says He was seen in His fullness when He entered the earth, and the fullness of God dwelt in Him. and we beheld him as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and glory. When we don't need it better for it to be the best, that's when we're walking in dominion in the earth. And that's where what God has promised begins to unfold. It's like holding on to your beggar's cloak and asking God to just have them bring you, just bring me more people to give me change. Bartimaeus said, I'm done with that. Cast off the cloak of needing rescued and ask God to give you revelation. Help me to see. Let me see as you see me, that I may be changed into the same image of your glory, from glory to glory to glory to glory, from faith to faith to faith. A couple of disciples walk up one day. There's a man there begging. And they said, silver and gold, we don't have any of it. But what we do have, we're going to give you. Rise up, see, be healed in the name of the Lord. Put down his change bucket, raised his hand and said, I don't know who, I don't know how, but I know I can see. This has to be God, because only God can do something like that. That's what we're supposed to say. You've been rescued. You've been set free. How many times do you need it? One is enough. Two is witness. Three is getting a bit ridiculous. And spending your life needing delivered day after day after day. Repent. For the kingdom of God is at hand. Be filled with the Holy Ghost and power, and bear witness to who He is in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Glory's hope is in you. God's saying, they're not going to see my glory. They can stare at me all day. For the kingdom of God doesn't come with observation. The kingdom of God is in you. My glory must be revealed, not looked at. So don't look at a world to be right. Look at your rightness in the world. That's Christ in you. Heaven and earth one day will be new. Jesus called it the bride meeting the groom, and the two will become one. That's the true union of the glory of God in all His creation. This is the greatest season of your life. You believe it? Give the Lord a shout of praise. Father, we worship you. We are so closely connected to your kingdom. The Greek says the kingdom of God, the Greek word is in your grasp. And whatever you release here, heaven will respond. Because we are the voices of faith. Thomas, you believe because you saw. Not a lot more can be done with that except your eyes convinced you. That's not very deep. That's not deep enough to see the kingdom of God. But blessed are those who have not seen and have yet believed. That's the wonder of the glory of God by His Spirit and by His power. Don't you know you must be born again? I'm not waiting for heaven to tell me anything. I'm here to tell heaven what the Holy Spirit says to say. I want the glory of God revealed, and I can't look at it. I can only look through it. Don't need a better day. I found a better way. His name is Jesus Christ, the Lord. Moses, Abraham, you've known me as the Almighty, God of all might and power. It's time to know me as El Shaddai. It's time to know me as the Lord who is present with you. Jesus. So we say, let's pull on heaven today together. Come on. Whatever you release from the earth, heaven is waiting. Whatever you bind in the earth, heaven is waiting. Keep in mind, Jesus has already bound the spirits of darkness. We release the glory of revelation. Your kingdom come. Your will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Because when it shows up here, it looks totally different. This is where the fullness is seen through the blood of Jesus Christ and the everlasting covenant of our Father God. Hear, O heavens, give ear, O earth, for the Lord God has spoken. Let there be an outpouring of your Spirit in the earth, that the glory of God may be revealed, that heaven and earth unite. This is the true union of the body of Christ in Jesus' name. And everyone said, and everyone shouted, everyone declared, yes and amen. Give the Lord a shout of praise this morning.